Scare your lawn straight by dialing 1-888-ROSIE-4U. It's the Rosie on the House Show.
And you can tune in.
Ricky
no matter
Nelson.
Where you... Oh, you know this one. Nice.
Garden party?
Oh, heck yeah.
Gary's giving you the big thumbs up.
This is my high school days.
Got a texter wants to know what station to listen to in Prescott. Must be on his way north. You can go to rosieonthehouse.com and click on the podcast tab. It says podcast instead of radio because the radio is 4 hours long. So for the rest of the week, podcast is more applicable than radio. And it's tied in. But you can click on there and see all of our stations and times if you're heading
into Prescott. So there's no excuse to ever miss this show.
That's right. If you're headed north into Prescott and you're turning off, you can tune in on 11:30 a.m. and that'll carry you into Prescott, where you can then flip over to the FM 99.9 simulcast on our KQ&A Quad City Prescott affiliate. Or if you're still continuing on into Sedona, you can click over to 780 a.m. Chasm. Chasm has them, the powerful AM stick that will carry you all over Northern Arizona. If you head into Flag, you can flip over to 93.5 FM and listen to CAF. Listen on CAF Country Legends. If you're heading south, 790 AM will carry you into Tucson. And then KGVY, if you're continuing south, you can listen on either 1080 AM or 100.7 FM. So there's a great radio affiliate cluster wherever you're Arizona travels take you this weekend. You can tune in on one of those great affiliates if you're heading north or south from the top of I-17 to the bottom of I-19. Matt.
We got a big lineup here.
Yeah,
Matt,
we do.
Frank,
everybody woke up.
Yeah, they're all waiting for you, John Jay.
Matt on a grapefruit tree starts us off this segment with the calls. Good morning, sir, and welcome to the program. No, he doesn't. All right.
He sent a picture in.
Okay.
So he's got a fairly young grapefruit tree. I don't know how long it's been planted, but it's pretty young. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a little bit lopsided and leaning a little bit. And his question is whether he should stake it. It probably wouldn't hurt. It isn't absolutely necessary. Citrus are a big bush. It will even out in time. But it would give it, probably from a cosmetic standpoint, from a landscape standpoint, a little nicer look if it was straight and more uniform, a little more cosmetic appealing than to have that kind of a leaning tree over there. So I guess my advice would be, yes, if you can stake it without damaging the tree. Sometimes those trees, if they've gone long enough, you know, that kind of crook or bend in the trunk becomes pretty rigid, pretty permanent, and you do more damage than good trying to straighten it up. So it's not going to hurt the tree, but if you want it to look better at a younger age, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
We appreciate the call, Matt. Let's move to Tucson. Next on the line is Frank. He wants to talk about some no-see-ums. Good morning, sir.
Christmas, and you would earn the biggest Christmas present ever if you could tell my friend how to get rid of the indoor gnats. She can't even go outside, but indoors, I don't know if they're coming up through drains or whatever. What is your, you had a segment on mosquitoes. I can kill them. They're big enough. The little tiny gnats, can't kill them. I can't see them.
Does she have houseplants?
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 houseplants. Yes.
Okay, my guess is you have fungus gnats that are breeding in the soil in the houseplants. And that's where they're coming from. So a couple of things you can do. Number one, get some diatomaceous earth or some sand or both and cover the top of the pot with sand and or diatomaceous earth. When those gnats trying to merge or come through that gravel, sand, gritty material, it generally will either inhibit them from being able to get out at all or cut or kill them. The other thing you might want to do is repot the houseplants. into some fresh potting soil. Get rid of some of that old soil. Wouldn't hurt. The other thing is you might just be keeping them a little too moist. So watch your watering. So kind of all of the above. Sand and diatomaceous earth, repot, and make sure they're drying out good in between waterings.
If we take the plants outside and leave them out overnight, would that rid some of the gnats that are on there?
Not necessarily, because they're down in the soil. So
okay,
they may
what
or
about
may...
aquarium rock that somebody recommended? Cover the whole top with aquarium rock.
Might work.
Decorative rock, little tiny pebble rock.
I know what you're talking about. Might work, don't know. Sand, I know for sure works, and diatomaceous earth as well. I know those will work. I don't know about the aquarium rock. You could, if you wanted it to be decorative like that, you could put a little sand or in diatomaceous earth, then put some, you know, that colored glass decorative stuff on top of that.
Now, Jennifer, make sure you keep that caller's name and phone number, because he promised John Jay the best Christmas gift ever.
What was that Mustang? Mustang?
He said the best Christmas gift
convertible
ever.
5.0 GT.
So let's not lose Frank.
Fire engine red.
Let's not lose.
Just write it all down, Frank.
We appreciate the call. Good luck with those gnats. Let's get to Bernie in Sun Lakes and switch over to some ash trees. Good morning, Bernie.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I moved into Sun Lakes about a year ago, and I'm told that in my backyard I have an ash tree. It constantly sheds. Every day I can go out and blow the leaves. It drops pods, a little brown thing, maybe the size of a small plum, and small twigs. I don't know if this is normal.
Well, it doesn't sound like an ash tree, number one. But
okay.
You know, pods the size of a plum. Ash trees have a very papery, light seed that's kind of winged. When it comes off the tree, it flies, you know, and goes. But it wouldn't, and they kind of all come off at the same time. So
no, well then, these are when they fall, they're dark brown.
Sounds to me like you have an Australian bottle tree. That's my guess. If you could take a picture and email it into the Rosie on the House or text it to us or something, we could tell you for sure. But it sounds like an Australian bottle tree. They kind of have something falls off of them all the time. Early in the summer, they lose lots of leaves. And it's a real light, papery leaf, and they can lose some branches pretty easily. That's just their nature. And then they flower in the spring, and then they set a seed pod that looks kind of like a pecan shell in a way, about that size, a plum or a pecan, and then they fall off. So it's one of those trees. So there's no clean tree. Some are just dirtier than others.
Some are just dirtier than others. That's a good way to put it. We appreciate the call. Let's see how we can help Bill in Pima County this morning. Welcome to the program. It's 1-888-767-4348. As we move through the calls, we're open lines up for you. 1-888-767-4348. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. Earlier you were talking about mosquito control, and I live in a community. There's a 26 manufactured homes and then RVs. And we have what's called a wastewater treatment plant. It's a package plant. And part of that plant, we have a holding pond, an evaporation pond. And most of the pond is covered by pussy willows or cattails. But there is the open area where the influent to the pond is at, and that's open. Now, I've seen advertised and research, they have these pucks. It's supposedly you toss in three or four, and they dissolve, and they're supposed to form some type of film on the top, but that it supposedly prevents the hatching of the larva, and the mosquitoes don't come out. I was just wondering how effective those pucks were, if you know anything about them.
I don't, other than that, you know, I know they're available, and I'm sure they have some effectiveness. I think you're a pretty good candidate for having, you know, somebody. There are companies out there that do pond maintenance, golf course ponds, ponds and developments like yours, different things. Quite frankly, I'm a little bit surprised you haven't had a visit from DEQ. If you've got standing water and the possibility of mosquitoes breeding in it. So I would probably take matters into control and get it before somebody does it for you. I think you probably are a good candidate to have somebody professionally come out and take a look at your situation, because it's going to be ongoing, and you're not going to be able to just do this once or twice. It's going to be and you need to make sure it's done the right way, because there's also probably some repercussions with water issues, and you know, you want to make sure we're not getting contaminated water into places it shouldn't be, that sort of thing. I mean, I don't know a lot about what I'm talking about, but I think I know enough to say you better call somebody that knows what they're talking about.
don't revert to Grandpa Raymond's propane malathion sprayer that I used growing up.
Well, we used to just take malathion and dump it in the standing water and let it coat the surface. It'll do it. I'm not saying that I didn't
Live
say that you should do that.
No, but we didn't say that. No.
Don't do that. I think that's the third person that has mentioned mosquitoes since we talked about it in the last segment. We're going to
hit a hot topic, buddy.
I think we hit a hot topic we'll have to follow up on and get that Haven rep in and see what solutions they can offer, because it is a neat little system, and I don't know that it's really applicable to this guy, but I'm sure there's more.
His situation is not uncommon. He's not the only one out there with a wastewater treatment or standing water or pond situation that doesn't need to be taken care of and have a plan that will take care of that. So I just don't know who to tell him to call, quite frankly, but do a little research and you can find somebody.
Now, I was distracted. Usually when I go to a shade conference, I'd like to attend a lot of the classes for education, but we were writing an article we were asked to write for the Jewish News publication this week on fall planting, and I wrote the editor back and said, look, Janet, instead of just my opinion on why I like fall for planting, I'm attending the shade conference. Why don't you let me interview some of the elite horticulturalists that'll be there and get their input and cover it from three or four different perspectives.
Why'd you talk to me then?
You probably don't want the honest answer. You're the first person I ran into when I walked in. No, I'm just kidding.
Had nothing to do with being elite. No, the truth hurts.
Oh, no, you were there. What class did you cover? I saw...
Taught a class on kind of hedges and screening, using plants to screen.
And it was your fault that I didn't get done what I needed to get done on Thursday. I planned on leaving at noon. But I got done with the article, and then I looked for you to proofread it before I sent it, and you were teaching. And I waited for that entire hour for you to get out to come proofread it.
There you go.
Threw off my whole Friday. But no, I'm just playing. So I completely lost my train of thought. We were thinking about it.
You were writing an article.
Yeah. We're up against a break.
Yeah, the break to think about.
Yeah.